So we're going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm just going to read the first few verses as we move on into this next chapter. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, I'm 50 years old. There we are, I've said it out loud. I'm 50 years old. But if I turned up this morning getting pushed in a pram, wearing a giant nappy and a giant baby grow, I think they're called onesies nowadays, aren't they? And if I was sucking a dummy or sucking my thumb, you'd think that it was a little bit strange that a 50-year-old had turned up. You'd say, you need to grow up. Or perhaps you children, sometimes you're doing something at home. Perhaps it's not necessarily naughty, but perhaps your parents might think that you should have grown out of that. And they say, oh, just please grow up. You know, one sign that something has got new life is that it grows. So if you plant an acorn, what you're hoping is that one day it will burst forth, that the seed will germinate, and you'll see the plant growing. A new life has come, and it begins to grow as into an oak tree. Or perhaps a sunflower seed that you've planted, and it begins to grow very fast. And in these verses, Peter's reminding the Christians that if they want to grow up, then what they need to do is to become a bit like a baby, which seems rather contradictory. To grow up, they need to be a bit like a baby. What he's saying is that if they want to grow up, they need to crave the pure spiritual food of the Word of God, the Bible. Just like a baby craves and longs for physical milk, a Christian should long for spiritual milk, for spiritual nourishment, which is the Word of God. And this is how we grow. And so from these verses, just these first three verses of chapter 2, I'm going to suggest there's three practical things that you can do if you want to grow up spiritually. Which should, of course, be our aim. If we want to grow, if we want to know Christ better, we should be growing. If there's real life in us, we should be growing. None of us want to be stuck on the ground when there's a mountain to climb. You know, if you went to Rosebery Toppin, I know some of you quite recently have been to Rosebery Toppin to walk. You know, you don't want to be left in the car park, do you, and watching people walk up, because you know it's nice up the top. And equally, if you walk through the first few hundred yards and you got just above the tree line and you look round and you thought, well, that's a really nice view, I'm going to stay here. Well, that wouldn't be the best either, would it? The best thing would be to keep walking right up to the very top where you get a fantastic view in 360 degrees. So that's what we're thinking about this morning, is not being a Christian who's left sort of in our nappies, not being a Christian who's left laying in our cot, not being a Christian who's left sat in the car while everyone else walks up Rosebery Toppin. We want to be a Christian that's growing and going upwards and learning more and more about the Lord Jesus, and our lives changing to be more and more like His. So I'm going to work in what I consider to be sort of a logical order, which I'm afraid again is sort of backwards, or certainly partly backwards in the verses. And the reason I've done that is that the first one is this. So if you've got your sheets and you want to write in the first one says, taste that the Lord is good. That's the very first thing you need to do, and it's in verse 3. It says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And that is a gigantic if. And we need to deal with the if before we look at the next bit. The if is connected with the so at the beginning of verse 1. Have you noticed there's a so, which is just a bit like a therefore? So you need to look before that, which describes what it is to be born again. So what Peter's saying is, these things are going to help you grow, But they only help you grow if you have already tasted that the Lord is good. There's a starting point, in other words. You need to have made that first step of tasting that the Lord is good. That's what the Christian life starts with. Experiencing God for the first time and knowing that He is good. It's a picture of receiving the first spiritual nourishment from God. It's talking about being born again. It's talking about the first time you believed the gospel. Not just that you knew about the gospel, that you began to understand it. Not just that you're interested in the gospel and that you're learning more. Not just that you're asking about it, but when you first actually tasted of the Lord and found that He was good. Now, if I put a large tub of ice cream on the table up here, let's say it's really nice, what, a Häagen-Dazs or something like that. Really, really delicious ice cream. And I don't know what your favourite, I'm getting all your mouth waters now, mouths to water, yeah? So not, I don't just mean any old ice cream, I mean like your favourite. So I don't know, triple chocolate with extra chocolate, or raspberry ripple with real raspberry, I don't know, something that you really like. And I say, well, there's some chocolate. And I could describe it, couldn't I? And I could make your mouth water. But you couldn't say you'd tasted it until you actually came up the front, took the lid off, got your spoon in and gave a good old mouthful. And you say, yeah, I've tasted that the ice cream is good. And similarly, it's not about being around Christians or coming to church that are the core things. They're all good things. Or thinking about Him or reading books. What really matters is that we have tasted that the Lord is good for ourselves. And I want to encourage you all, adults included, but especially you children, you perhaps get brought along by your parents and you're in a family perhaps that talks about Jesus, but the most exciting thing, he's really excited about the ice cream, but the thing that's really important for you kids is for you yourselves to taste yourselves that the Lord is good. It's not just good enough to say, oh, mum and dad know that the Lord's good. For you yourself, and what I mean by that is to respond to the God yourself. Not just to see that other people have, but you have. It took me until I was 11. I'd been born in a home where I was being brought to church. And it wasn't until I was 11 that it really dawned on me that I actually had something to do. I thought I was fine because I was all, you know, I knew all about it. But I realised that I myself had to say sorry for my sin. I myself had to see that I needed a rescuer. I myself had to see that Jesus was the perfect rescuer. I myself had to trust Him. I myself had to turn away from sin and receive the new life that He has to offer. So, and this is Peter's point often, and we've covered it several times, and I think we're going to keep covering it, for as long as I live, but certainly while we're looking at Peter as well, which is that until we have tasted that the Lord is good ourselves, let's not start thinking about how we're going to please God. And the most important thing to please God is to have faith. We need to trust Him and believe His word and trust His Son, the Lord Jesus. He doesn't want us to start trying to live a holy life without first coming to know Christ ourselves. So there's the starting point. Taste that the Lord is good. And there's a big if, isn't there? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So what's coming next is built on this foundation that you have already, or this assumption that you have already trusted in the Lord Jesus. You've already experienced the new birth. You are born again of God's Spirit. You're trusting in Him. You're forgiven. You're cleansed. You've become a Christian. So that was the first one. Taste that the Lord is good. That's the first thing. And it must come first. The second thing. Here's the next one, kids, if you're filling it in. Put some things away. Put some things away. And that's from verse 1. Listen to the list. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So if you've tasted that the Lord is good, there's some things to put away. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander. Notice that this isn't just put them away in a cupboard to another day. It means put them away, throw them away. Let's have nothing more to do with these things. That's why I think I've got a little picture on there of someone throwing something in the bin on the sheets. It's getting rid of it. Now, it's not a list of every sin, of course. There's, what, five things there. So it's not a list of every sin. So why these ones? Why has Peter chosen these five things to highlight? Well, I think it's because of a connection with the previous chapter. And do you remember the last thing he told us was that we should love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So when we become a Christian, we're drawn into this new family. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's saying to them, look, you need to love one another. And I think all of these sins relate to that thing. Because all of them are barriers to loving one another. They're all sins of relationship, aren't they? You look at them. They're all sins that one person commits against another. Or one person commits against a group. Or a group could commit against... it's all to do with people and relationships. So if we want to live in this love that Christ has called us to, we must rid ourselves of these, let's call them feelings and attitudes and actions. Malice. What does that mean? Something like wanting to harm people, being mean-spirited. Deceit. What does that mean? Well, it means wanting people to believe things that are not true. Trying to deceive them. And it's specifically, or particularly here, I think, is applying to getting them to believe things that aren't true about you. Hypocrisy is a thing where we want to conceal the real me. There's a fear of being known, an insecurity, and so we try to pretend to be something that we're not. Often the illustration of a mask is used, where we're putting on a mask, we're pretending, we get up in the morning and we pretend to be someone. Doesn't want us. Peter says, no, that's not what God wants. You don't want to be living this sort of pretense. We need to be real. Put away envy. Envy's about what I feel about others when they're doing well or when things are going well for them or things that they've got. When good things happen to someone else, I can be envious. Peter says, no, we don't want any more of that. In this new community of God's people, we want to get rid of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and then slander. Slander's to do with what we say about other people, speaking badly about others. And let me say that includes, doesn't it, speaking about others that aren't Christians, and it includes speaking badly about people that are Christians. We need to be very careful about what we say about other people. Put it away, Peter says. And if you're a believer, perhaps even as I've read those out, things have come into your mind. Perhaps things recently where you've pretended, where you've deceived, where you've been a bit mean-spirited, where you've been a bit envious, or you've been and said something that's wrong and slanderous about someone else. Perhaps it has already prompted thoughts that some things that you need to change. Or perhaps it just you're a bit blank when you hear them. You agree, but you're blank. Well, let's pray. Let's not go fishing, but Lord, if there are things that we need to change in our lives, perhaps we're a bit prone to one of these things, let's ask the Lord to show us. It might be a bit of an uncomfortable experience, but wouldn't it be a good experience to be getting rid of these things that God says we've got to get rid of? So pray to the Lord. If nothing stood out to you when I read those things or when you're looking at them, then ask the Lord to show you if there are elements of those that are still vestiges in your heart that you need to put away. That's part of spiritual growth. Part of spiritual growth is getting rid of the things that are holding you back. It's part of your desire to live out your faith. It's part of a desire to live a holy life. It's part of a desire to learn to love your spiritual brothers and sisters. We need to actively identify these sins and put them away. You see, being born again, to some extent, is a passive thing. God does this mighty work in our hearts. We're granted faith and repentance, yes, but God does the work. But holiness, holy living, being called to love one another, is a very active thing. And so we are being asked to actively identify these things and put them away. Now, this is a command of God. Peter's writing with the authority of the Holy Spirit, and it's a command. We must put these things away. But you might say, but how? How do I get rid of it? How do I stop myself doing these things? How do I stop myself thinking like this? Wanting to deceive others, making myself look better than I am. How do I stop being envious of other people? How do I stop being slanderous? It just seems to come out of my mouth when I'm finding it really hard. How do I do it? Well, I think the strategy is what's going to be revealed next, which is my third point, which is, strangely, cry like a baby. There we are, kids, if you're filling the sheets in. The third one, cry like a baby. Verse 2, it says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. Here's the main thrust of these three verses. Become like a baby in your longing for nourishment. Cry like a baby. Just like a baby screams when it needs its milk. We had an interesting experience when Thomas was born. Because didn't feed properly for a few days. And they do all these blood tests and they get a bit freaked out. And which freaks us out. And he goes into special baby unit. And it's a bit weird really, because there's these tiny little babies in the special care baby unit. Like literally like a bag of sugar. And there's this heifer lump in there. Who looked fine, but was screaming, a really horrible high-pitched scream. And I'm pleased to say the Lord sorted it all out. But it was because he wasn't feeding. There was anxiety, there was worry. We should have the same sort of desire for food, spiritual nourishment. And clearly, verse 2 is speaking about spiritual things, because it says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. Now, there's some interesting stuff in the Greek that I won't go into, except to say that every single commentary that I looked at, without exception, said that this pure spiritual milk is the Word of God. It doesn't say that here, but the Greek makes it plain. Because the word where it says spiritual, pure spiritual milk, is based on the word Logos, which some of you will have heard before, where at the beginning of John it says that the Word was God and the Word was with God, which we know is Jesus. That's Logos, the Word. And so clearly the thing here is he's saying, I want you to crave God's Word. I want you to crave the Bible. I want you to long for it. I think the NIV uses the word crave and ESV uses the word long. It's a really strong word, saying that there's a great, just like a baby, like it's desperate for its food. It doesn't like, it's not polite, is it, a baby? It doesn't say, I'll leave the next meal till tomorrow. I'm not really very hungry. The baby's hungry. It screams and it needs some milk. And so that should be our attitude, our desire, our longing for God's Word. Now, two things seem odd to me about this. The first thing is that we're being commanded to feel something. We're being commanded to long for something. We're being commanded to hunger for something. And you think, well, hang on a minute, is that possible? Can I produce a desire? I really think it's good news, though, if you stop and think about it. Because if this were not true, if this were not possible, if God could not say to us, you must desire this, it would mean that we could say, well, that's not what I'm like. That's, someone calls it spiritual fatalism. Where we could just assume that, well, because my human power fails in that area, then, well, that's what I'm like, and I've just got to exist like this. But I think the scripture is saying that by turning to his word, God will give us the power to desire him more. And so it's a bit like Jesus telling a lame man to get up and walk. The lame man can't do it unless God does something. And so Jesus says, get up and walk, and the man gets up and walk, and he acts in faith. And so, likewise, when we're being told to long for pure spiritual milk, to long to read the Bible, well, the answer is, if we're saying, well, I don't really feel like it, the answer is to step out in faith and pick the Bible up and start reading. And you will find that you do grow a longing for his word. And this isn't the only area like this, is it? We're commanded to rejoice in the Lord. That's a feeling, isn't it? At least to some extent. We're commanded to delight in the Lord. We're commanded to have zeal for the Lord. There's lots of things which at least have an element of emotion and feeling in them. And God is saying, I want you to grow in these things. He's calling us to act in faith. To actually step out and do these things. And not just say, well, you know, I don't feel like it today. Just say, well, no, I'm going to get my Bible, I'm going to read. And I'm going to find, I want the Lord to give me a desire that grows. And I'm sure he will. It's a lie to say that you are limited by your natural inclination. That's a lie. So that's the first thing. I thought it was a bit odd that he commanded us to long for something. The other thing that I thought was a bit odd was this idea of growing up by becoming like a baby. It's weird, isn't it? It's all in one sentence. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. And it's simply a reflection, although it sounds contradictory, it's simply a reflection that as a Christian matures and as a Christian grows, one of the things they realise is how dependent they are on God. So the more mature you get, you don't begin to think of yourself as independent. The more mature you get spiritually, the more dependent you feel upon God. And the more like a baby you see yourself as being, absolutely dependent upon your parents, upon God. So growth, spiritual growth, doesn't lead to independence from God. Spiritual growth leads to dependence upon him. The more we grow, the more we need God's word to help and guide us. It's not, the Bible isn't like a child's book. You know, you might look down at some of the books down there that have got like fluffy things to press and touch. You think, well, I'm past that. Although I bet some of you sometimes pick them up and have a little stroke. But you might look at a little baby's book and think, well, that's, I'm older than that. Especially some of you children might look at a younger child's book and say, well, that's like a baby's book. Well, we can't say that about the Bible. The Bible is fit for all of us, and we'll never get to the depths of it. We'll never outgrow the Bible. So God is saying, crave nourishment. Just like if you were setting out on a weightlifting regime. Have you seen these bodybuilders? I was reading a thing on the internet the other day about a bodybuilder. And the amount he ate, he was absolutely devoted to making his body what he wanted it to be. And it included a ridiculous amount of calories that he had to eat. And a ridiculous amount of protein. And a ridiculous amount of exercise. And a ridiculous amount about lifting weights. But this guy was devoted to achieving that. And he set his heart upon it. And his whole life revolved around getting this shape. He wanted to compete in the world's strongest man. And that's what he did in order to do it. And surely we also want to be the best that we can be. We want to climb Rosemary Top. We want to be the best. We want to get to the top. We want to go, no, I don't think probably any of us are going to be the super muscle men, are we? And be Mr. Universe or anything. But in terms of spiritually, we want to grow. We want to be something. Not for ourselves, but for God, because we want to be like him. And if we want to do that, if we want to grow, then it's going to require that we're hungry and thirsty after God's word. It's the only way. It's a recipe for growth. And did you notice that it's the pure spiritual milk? The undefiled spiritual milk would perhaps be a better translation. Or unadulterated spiritual milk. Did you watch that program? It was a little while ago that was about baking through the years. And one of the episodes, they showed you how they were trying to make the bread cheaper.
And it was getting more, a bit more of a, like a cottage industry, and they were trying to sell enough to make their living, and they were working out what they could put, how much sort of chalk they could get away with putting in the milk, in the flour, and all sorts of other horrible things. It's adulterated. It's not. And these bakers, who are obviously proud of their work, found it awful putting in a chalk into their bread, and they said what horrible mixture it made and how it tasted worse. But of course, that's what they had to do in those days to try and make a living. We don't want it adulterated. We want the word, the pure word of God, which helps us grow. So, in conclusion, Peter is calling us to grow up. He's saying it's time to grow. He's saying it's always time for a Christian to grow. I don't think here he's talking about just because they're new Christians. He's saying you're going to be like... Other places in the Bible use this analogy of milk to say, well, you start off with milk and then you're going to go on to, you're going to be weaned and go on to solid food. I don't think here he's speaking like that. He's just saying all of us need nourishment and we need to be like a baby, absolutely desperate for this nourishment. So the way to grow up, if you want to grow up as a Christian, if you want to go walking up the spiritual rosemary topping, start off, you have to start at the right place, which is to taste that the Lord is good, to be born again of his spirit. Secondly, there's things to put away. And in particular here, we've thought about those sins of relationship. And thirdly, we need to cry like a baby, craving pure spiritual milk, God's word. Your growth as a Christian is linked directly to what you take in. If you take rubbish in, rubbish will come out. If you devote your time and energies to listening and reading and spending time with people that are telling you all sorts of other stuff, I'm not saying you can't be in the world, but if you're just soaking in what the world says and what the TV says, it's not going to be good what comes out. You're not going to grow well. What's going to make you grow well is by reading God's word and following him. Just like Psalm 1, we're going to be like a tree planted by rivers, a river of water, which is going to make us not only grow well, but produce good fruit, and that we're not going to wither when trouble comes. So if you feel stunted in your Christian growth, here's an answer. If you feel like things have like come to a bit of a stop, you're on a bit of a plateau in your Christian life, perhaps it's time to open the Bible afresh. Read it regularly. Meditate on God's word. Be comforted by it. Be encouraged by it. Be strengthened by it. Be challenged by it. Be satisfied by all that the Bible teaches you about God. And all of it, just like Jesus said, all of the scriptures are pointing to him. We'll find our greatest needs met when we look to him. Let's pray, and then we'll sing our final hymn.